In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, welcome. I don't know if there's a couple new faces that I'm not familiar with, so maybe take later tonight, this evening, just introduce yourself if you would do that, that'd be great. If you have been joining us for night prayer at 7 o'clock before we come down here, if you don't know, there are little booklets that you can use to follow along with us. And I can give you a little tutorial if you guys want to do that, take part in that. So, okay, any other announcements that you all might have? Nothing? Okay. Yeah, no, right. Yeah, so we can sing happy birthday to Brother Juan outside at the bonfire. Okay? All right. So tonight, today is the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, okay? And it's kind of a conflicting thing for us as canons, because technically, if you know anything about the liturgical year, we have certain levels of feast days, or in the new calendar, we say memorial or optional memorial, feast, solemnity. And so the solemnity, if it's a solemnity, that's the highest form of celebratory liturgical day, right? Followed by a feast day, which today is. But technically, it's actually a memorial. Why is it a feast day for us? Because as canons, we always elevate Our Lady's days one notch, right? And so, however, it's a feast day. So for us, that means kind of a celebratory day. We get to drink Dr. Pepper, which we don't normally get to do on regular ferial days or optional memorials or memorials. And so we kind of celebrate a little bit, but being that it's Our Lady of Sorrows, it doesn't make a lot of sense to celebrate. And so my goal tonight is to kind of make up for all the Dr. Peppers we had today by making you all a little sorrowful. So you'll see what I mean as I progress. So let's just begin. My intent is to do like a short presentation. I'm not going to PowerPoint you to death, I hope. And then we're going to watch a brief documentary. And then we're going to go pray. And then we're going to go have a bonfire. So you'll probably be sorrowful towards the prayer time, after the prayer time, maybe, I don't know. And then we'll console you with some social bonfire fun. Okay, so let's begin. Obviously today is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And we have a great devotion in the church. If you don't know that, there's a great devotion in the church to Our Lady of Sorrows. Where did all this begin? Well, naturally, in sacred scripture. In the Gospel of Luke, we have Our Lady, Saint Joseph, taking baby Jesus, newly born, to the temple, the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And they meet Simeon, now Saint Simeon. And Simeon receives our Lord into the temple, but he has a prophecy waiting for our Blessed Mother. It says, "You yourself a sword will pierce," you know, prophesying. Certainly the Messiah is going to suffer. We know that from the Old Testament. But Our Lady receives this news that she herself is going to have to endure some suffering, okay? Then over the years, of course, all these things take time to develop, all right? St. Anselm is attributed to the progression of this development of the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And then the Benedictines, of which he was one, they begin to celebrate it liturgically in their masses. The Servites, anybody heard of the Servites?
Yes.
Okay, what do you know about the Servites?
Yeah, the basilica.
They do. And what is the name of that basilica in Chicago? Of sorrows. Yes, exactly. Now, why? Well, first of all, the Servites are also known as the Servants of Mary. And here in Chicago, they have a church, now a basilica. If you've ever gone to YouTube and watched Archbishop Fulton Sheen's Latin Mass on YouTube, it's at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica in Chicago. Okay? So the Servites, who are the Servites? Well, in 1233, the Blessed Mother appeared to seven men who were praying in the church. And they all saw Our Lady at the same time, and they were called to establish this order, the Servites, who had a great devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. Okay? So they would continue to perpetuate the devotion. Also, St. Bridget of Sweden, she being a mystic in the church, Our Blessed Mother gave her seven promises for those who meditated on Our Lady's seven dolors or sorrows, okay? The first one, she says, I will grant peace to their families. So if you want to pray for your families, this is a great way to do that, right? Two, you will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. And so you'll enter in more deeply into those mysteries of our Lord. Number three, I will console them. She says, I will console them in their pains and will accompany them in their work, right? So suffering, I will accompany them in their pains. Suffering, if you don't know this, is not a bad thing, right? Why do I say that? Because our Lord even redeemed suffering. It has now become an instrument or a means by which we can grow in holiness if we accept it as coming directly from the hands of God, right? So suffering, it's an imitation of Christ who suffered deeply on the cross and Our Lady. Okay, number four, I will give them as much as they ask for as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Our Lady, please give me $1 million. Well, will that $1 million be good for you? Will it help you in your eternal salvation? Maybe not. Most likely it won't. I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. So Our Lady's mantle protecting us. I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. You imagine on your deathbed and you see Our Lady coming to you, you're like, oh, wow, this is really it, right? So Our Lady's there to help you enter into or move, pass over to the next life. She also says, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. Okay, that's St. Bridget of Sweden. From all of this development of the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows comes the Rosary of Our Lady of Sorrows, or we say the chaplet, not to confuse it with the Holy Rosary, but it also goes by either name, the Rosary or the chaplet. And as you can see, the rosary itself looks a little different than the standard rosary that we typically use. There are seven, or divisions of seven, not decades, but there are seven beads, seven sections of seven beads, to allow us to meditate on the seven dolors or sorrows of Mary. First being the prophecy of Simeon, which we heard about in the beginning of this talk. The second sorrow, the flight into Egypt. The third, the loss of the child Jesus in the Temple of Jerusalem. The meeting of Mary and Jesus on his way to Calvary. You see that played out very well in the Passion of the Christ. If you haven't seen that, please watch that. Standing at the foot of the cross, Our Lady, with St. John, the beloved disciple, of course, or apostle. Jesus being taken down from the cross. And then finally, the seventh sorrow, the burial of Jesus, seeing her own son buried right before her very eyes. Okay, so that's the rosary of the chaplet. Now, the Universal Church certainly has acknowledged that this is a very important devotion, and thus Pope Pius X, he permanently establishes this feast or memorial on September 15th, the day immediately after the exaltation of the Holy Cross, right? Why? To show the union between both our Lord's Passion and Our Lady's Passion. She did indeed suffer, probably, and they say you combine all the suffering of all humanity ever, and it doesn't even compare to what Our Lady endured in her soul. Okay, does anybody know who this is? No one. Well, we know it's Our Lady, right? but Our Lady of Cabejo. Yeah, anybody heard of Our Lady of Cabejo? No? Okay, good. That means we're giving you something new. The disappearance of the devotion, probably not the best word, but it's the one that I just came up with. So this is certainly an ancient devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. However, it kind of slipped away a little bit, but the devotion has made a resurgence. Why? Because of this apparition of Our Lady in Cabejo, Rwanda, or Africa, in the 1980s. Okay, you may have heard of Rwanda. We'll get to that in a minute. In her apparitions, Our Lady of Cabejo recommended that people pray the chaplet or rosary of the seven sorrows. This is in 1980, okay? To obtain the favor of repentance. That was the big message of Our Lady of Cabejo. Repent, 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 just like St. John the Baptist. She says, one must meditate on the passion of Jesus. This is Our Lady. And on the deep sorrows of his mother. One must recite the rosary every day. And also the rosary of the seven sorrows of Mary to obtain the favor of repentance. Okay, so not that this chaplet replaces the Holy Rosary, but certainly supplements it. Just some statistics on Our Lady of Cabejo. The first appearance was on November 28th. The last appearance was also on November 28th. Thus, that's when we celebrate her feast day, Our Lady of Cabejo. There were several visionaries or people that Mary appeared to. By the way, this is all church approved. This is not just, it's kind of in the process, but they have already approved this. The church has already approved and said that yes, she in fact, there was supernatural appearances of Our Lady. Over a period of 8 years, from 1981 to 1989. There are a couple of the visionaries there, Alphonsine, the first, and then Marie Claire. She was adamantly opposed to the truths that Our Lady was appearing to Alphonsine. These are young high school aged girls. So Marie Claire, she totally denied that this was real until it started happening to her. And she's like, okay, this is real. Okay, first apparition, obviously, 1981, last one, 1989, approved in 2001, okay. Anybody familiar with Immaculate Ilibigasa, something like that, left to tell. So if you're familiar with the genocide that took place in Rwanda beginning in 1990, well, just in the year of 1994, it happened from April to July. Roughly 1 million people were killed. Only one tribe were killed, the Tutsis. Those are the only people that died in this genocide. The Hutus had control of the government. And you'll see in the video that we're about to watch what took place. And it's Immaculate who actually helps navigate us through all of this, including not only the genocide, but also Our Lady's apparitions. So now, let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first sorrow of Mary, St. Simeon's prophecy. In the temple, St. Simeon had received the divine child in his arms, saying, "Behold, this child is set for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end.
The second sorrow of Mary, the flight into Egypt. Let us now consider the second sword of sorrow which wounded Mary, the flight of her infant Jesus into Egypt to escape the persecution by Herod. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The third sorrow of Mary, the loss of Jesus in the temple. The third sorrow was one of the greatest that Mary had to endure in her life, the loss of her son in the temple. Having lost her son for 3 days, she was deprived of his most sweet presence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The fourth sorrow of Mary, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the way to Calvary. The greater her love for him, the greater her grief at the sight of his sufferings, especially when she met him on the sorrowful way, dragging his cross to the place of execution. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The fifth sorrow of Mary, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. St. John did not feel it necessary to say more than these words with reference to the martyrdom of Mary. Picture her now at the foot of the cross beside her dying son, and then ask yourself if there can ever be a sorrow like her sorrow. Remain for a while on Calvary and consider the fifth sword which transfixed the heart of Mary, the death of Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The sixth sorrow of Mary, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. We must now consider the sixth sorrow which weighed upon the heart of our Blessed Lady. A cruel lance will pierce the side of her son, and she will receive him in her arms after he has been taken down from the cross. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The seventh sorrow of Mary, the burial of Jesus. Let us meditate now on Mary's last sword of sorrow. She has witnessed the death of her son on the cross. She has embraced his lifeless body for the last time, and now she has to leave him in the tomb. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Let us pray. O God, at whose passion, according to the prophecy of Simeon, a sword of sorrow did pierce through the most sweet soul of the glorious Virgin and Mother Mary, grant that we who commemorate and reverence her sorrows may experience the blessed effect of thy passion, who livest and reignest world without end. Amen. Now three Hail Marys in honor of the tears shed by Our Lady in her sorrows. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you for observing this day in a special way for Our Lady, joining her, consoling her in her sorrows. Does anyone have any thoughts that they want to share with regard to the film? I thought it was interesting. There's a couple of points, obviously, but there was even a priest. I don't know if you saw that, even a priest involved in contributing to the genocide. I looked it up and said that he was convicted for 15 years in prison, 15 years. Before his prison term was up, he actually appealed to try to get out early. And in that appeal, the court found actually him to be more guilty than they originally found him, and they actually extended his sentence to be a life term. And so he's serving that out to this day. If you haven't read the book by Immaculée, Left to Tell, I highly encourage it. It was encouraged for us to read it at one of our retreats given by a Norbertine priest. And so, in fact, I did read it. It's very good. Shower really is all it was. It wasn't a bathroom, and there was a toilet there, but it wasn't much bigger than, it said 3x4 actually. And they had seven women in there, protected. They moved a movable like closet or an armoire in front of the door so that when they came to inspect the house, because they knew that there were some Tutsi women in the house at one point. The closet or the armoire hid that door to that bathroom. And so for 3 months, those seven women stayed in there. The pastor, there's a Protestant pastor who actually hid them in his house in that bathroom. He would check on them every once in a while. He got nervous and was tempted to expose them. But he would also help them out. In fact, Immaculée asked him for a dictionary, I think a French dictionary, so she could teach herself French. So that when help would come, and she assumed it would be the French, that she would be able to communicate to them. And in fact, through that, she was able to secure a position with the UN, and then to kind of help Rwanda and all the things that were taking place to recover from all of that. So it's an amazing story left to tell. It's a very easy read, although it is somewhat hard to take in. Any other thoughts on the film by anyone?
It's insane how they can poke her eyes with needles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burn her arm.
Right.
It's like no reaction. Yeah. It's crazy. Not crazy. That's kind of negative.
Sure.
It's bizarre.
Sure.
It's miraculous.
Yeah. And then there's that one scene where she kind of falls to the ground. And you're like, oh, well, it doesn't look all that real. But no, I think there's a lot that we don't see in terms of the, because there were two teams. One was a set of medical doctors and the other was a group of theologians. And they put them through the mill. I mean, they really studied everything about the situation. And ultimately, yes, the first three visionaries have been approved as being supernatural.